With you a thought. It's based on, or at least based on what I'm saying, it came off of a thought I heard from somebody else, and then I just developed it. But so the thought really is based on a shmooze that I heard from Ephraim Waxman from Muncie, Shlita. And he was talking a much longer thought. There's one point over there which set a thought process in motion. So I just want to share that with you. So there's the assumption in the world is that there's two types of people. There's the half empty glass, half empty, and there's glass half full people. The glass is half full with water. So is it half empty or half full? Right? How do you look at the world? So imagine, for argument's sake right now, that you're a half empty person, right? Some people call those people pessimists. The pessimists call it, say that they're realists, right? So Hanukkah. So Hanukkah is a very, very dark time in Klal Yisrael. The leaders of Klal Yisrael were the Kohanim. For the most part, they were Mishyavdim. You have one group of Kohanim, the base Chashmonoi, which didn't. But the many Kohanim were Mesiavin. The Yavonim had taken over the base of Mikdash, and they had made the Pirtzis and the Sereg. They had been brought a Chazer and the Mizbeach, and Metam all of the Shmonim in the base of Mikdash. The place was a wreck. Klal Yisrael fights a war. Now, when the time of the Chukos HaMizbeach, they had not won the war. The war continued on for years afterwards. So they had won a specific victory, which allowed them to retake the Beis HaMikdash and re-enter the Beis HaMikdash, etc. But not too long afterwards, we have that Yehuda Maccabi, Yehuda was killed, and then the Ben Shishima was killed. It's not a great story. And then the Beis Hashemroi itself, fades into very, very shortly afterwards into very difficult situation times. So you walk into the Beis Hamikdash, you with a group of Kohanim, and you're looking for. You decide that we want to restart the avodah. So getting an animal, they got an animal. They found an animal, the Rakam Bakorm. Okay, they want to light the menorah. So they're looking for a Pach Shemen, which is Tor. And every Pach that they find is Tameh. And eventually, they find in some place which nobody had noticed, which is a way, it's clear that it had not been moved, because Goy Mermetava Bimasa, which means if the Goy had moved the Pach, it's going to be Tameh, even if he hadn't broken the seal. So they had, it was clearly like they find one Pach of Shemen, which is enough to last for one night. Now remember, you're a half empty person. So there's the Beis Hamikdash, there's Yud Gimel Pirtzis in the serving. You have the smell of the Chazer on the Mizbeach. You have the tomb of the whole place. The leadership of Klal Yisrael is still failing, and the war is still raging. What's your reaction?
No big deal. Doesn't help me.
Right? It's like, and imagine there's one fellow over here who's one of these half full guys. He says, "Wow, we found the package, and it's so exciting." What do you say to the guy? You out of your mind? You out of your mind? Like, one pach, that's one night's worth. First of all, till we get it, but the place is in shambles. It's Tomei, it's this and that. And you're like, we found a pach shaman. The Mr. Meshugana, right? I mean, that should be that would be the half-empty response to the half-full guy. You're out of your mind. So what do we celebrate? Right? So, rehearsal is a fascinating thing. It says, we talk about an ace. So Hirsch says the word nace, what does it mean? We say it in davening, right? So what does the word nace over there? Nace over there means a flag, a dagel. So he says, a person gets on you're living in a world where there's no GPS yet, there's no Waze and every other one of those things. You get on the road, and you're traveling from Silver Spring to New York. You get on the road, and your sense of direction is not always so great. You know, sometimes you go the wrong way. You know, that I don't know what's ever happened. It ever happened to you? Got on the road, the highway went the wrong direction. It happened to me. They're confusing. So, like, what are you desperately searching for?
A signpost
which says what direction you're going, right? So your miles, you know, you have the signpost after, you know, something. If it's right away, you know, first mile, you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, I felt like I went the wrong direction. That's a 15 miles, okay? But you want a signpost. An ace is a signpost. That's what an ace is. An ace is an indicator. It's a flag that you're on the right direction. That's what an ace is. Yavon is Yafta L'kim L'yafis V'yishkamar L'shem. That the Yofi belongs to Yavon. Yofi requires symmetry. It requires shlemus. You look at a half-completed piece of art, it just doesn't look nice. When it's full and every single piece is in its right place, there's a beauty to it. So the world of Yavon is the world of Yofi. It's an all-or-nothing proposition. Yavon gives us the Olympics. I'm hitting a certain age over here. Why roller sports?
Maybe see.
Right? Okay. Right? The beginning line was the thrill of victory, the
agony of defeat.
Right? Okay, the agony of defeat. Okay, so I just ran a 3 minute 52.7 second mile. Awesome, right?
Yeah, that would be unbelievable.
It'd be unbelievable, right? But there's three guys who ran a 3 minute 52.1, 0.4, and 0.6. What am I? A loser. That's all I am. A loser. I ran a mile which you know, 50 years ago they couldn't dream that such a thing existed. And I ran something which I broke the 4 minute barrier. I'm top form. I did a phenomenal thing, but no, it's all or nothing, buddy. There's three guys on the podium and that's it. And the times of Olympics, I think historically there was only actually one. I think there wasn't even three. Right? Originally the Greek Olympics, it was either you won or you lost. There's no in between. Either you're the perfect or you're nothing. That's the world of Yavon. The world of Klal Yisrael, the world of Torah, is not like that. There's no such thing as, I don't measure you against anybody else. I don't measure you against you yourself. You're not measured at what, either you're perfect or you're nothing. The point of a nace is that it means you're on the road. It doesn't mean you're there. I get onto this road, and I'm driving, I decide that I'm a Meshuggah, and I'm going to drive from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco. I get on the road. I know that I'm on the right road. That's all I know. It's still got a long road to go. You know? I still can make some mistakes along the way. Right? But I know that I'm on the right road. That's all you need. The reason why we celebrate Hanukkah for a Pach Shemin is that there was somebody with the seichel enough to say, you know what, what'll be tomorrow? I have no idea. It's not important to me. But tonight I'm going to light it there. A little bit I can do. Maybe I can't sustain it tomorrow. So I won't sustain it tomorrow. That's not a reason not to do it now. So the Waxman suggested that, you know, the Chazal say that said to them, Ein lam chelek ve'elokei Yisrael. They were arguing on the whole concept of chelek. You don't do partials. God wants, we believe in God, God's a wonderful thing, etc. But you know, you expect God to be good with you? Either it's all or nothing. Right? The human being comes and presents God. You know, my davening today really was pretty bad. You know, I still listen to her a lot today also. I was not nice to my wife. I lost my temper. I wasted a lot of time. I got involved with certain things I shouldn't get involved with. And I stole a little bit. You know, I wasn't careful with somebody else's money, etc. You know. But I said a bracha nicely. I really said a nice bracha. I really thought about it. And I mamash gave a lot of kavanah to it. And I said a bracha nicely. So, like, there's a good argument that God says, like, you know, excuse me, what exactly do you want from me? We could have argued that. We could have argued that very strongly. I had a fellow in Tells. This person was very down on himself, low self-esteem, etc. And he was a big pusher, etc. But he was constantly, I'm not good enough. Now, living in the world of Musa Yeshiva, that was not so hard to get that type of a thought process. Because you look at the people up in the Mitzvah and you see where you could be, where you should be, where you're not. And B, that was what the Musa Shuism were like in my days. You know? They can land at Shen Shaw, but not enough. So land at Tzelov Shaw. You didn't know 10 hours, you do 12 hours. It never was enough. So this fellow took it to the extreme. Like, you know, one day he came to me that this is really serious, that he's contemplating suicide. I said, why? Because I'm a Russian. I'm going to go to Gehenna. I just want to get over with already. So he said to me, I said, why are you a Russian? Because my davening, the whole list, etc. So I said, you know, I mean, like, you did something good. He says, yeah, maybe I said one bracha with kavana, but what does that count against the other 19, 18, which I said without kavana? Like, and that he was so into that. I mean, this is a long conversation with him just to get him, like, out of this thought process. There's no therapist you could send him to because no therapist understood the world he was coming from. In those days, it's clean for sure. So, we could hear the argument. We could hear Yavin whispering in Klai Yisrael, listen, you guys are not perfect. You really are not good. There's no symmetry. There's no, the perfection is not there. There's no beauty. You don't have any beauty. You know, either you're the Adam HaShalem, you're the which they saw as the philosopher, because the philosopher was excelled extraordinarily in his what makes human beings, or you're nobody. There's no between. Either you're the winner of the Olympics or you're a loser. Right? There's no between. And that was the argument. And that was Hikshikha Naam Shah Yisrael. The Pasha, it was a Pasha darkened their eyes when they heard that. Pasha said, you know what? So why try? I know I'm going to fail, so why try? The people from Yavnim, you know, it wasn't just, you know, that they were these horrible people. But they got slapped into a world like, you know, I'm not going to be successful anyway, why try? The sales pitch back was the war is still raging, the Beis HaMikdash is still in shambles, but there's one Pach Hashem, one night's worth, let's do it. There's somebody with the clarity, let's do it. And what will be tomorrow? I don't know. Tomorrow I'll mess up again tomorrow, but who cares? But today I'm going to make it happen. What? This little thing. There's the Chassidus, you know, the Gemar Din of the Yom Neroyim is on Rosh Chanukah. So there's two reactions to that thought process. There's the literature reaction and the Chassidus reaction. The literature reaction goes something like this. Listen, you know, you Rosh Hashanah, you had some good thoughts. You really worked hard to try to hold on to Yom Kippur. Maybe you're successful. Then we say, no, Yom Kippur's like Hashanah Rabbah. You know, if you mess up Tinah Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, some surfers said the year that he was nifter right after, shortly after Sukkot. He says that, he said that, you know, he knew what was going on in the Shemaim. He said he made it through Rosh Hashanah, made it through Yom Kippur. And the Gemara was fine, but it came to giving out the pitkos, giving out the kvittel, which shall pikabola, the decision is given to act upon in Hashanah Rabbah. They threw his kvittel out. That was the lashon that he used. His kvittel fell out, and he was nifter shortly after Sukkot. So, like, you know, if you don't hold on to Hashanah Rabbah, forget it. Right? Then they say, you know, by the way. forget it. I'm done. It's just like, you know, I might as well just hang up ahead. You know, I blew it already. You know, I blew it like 4 million times already. You know, Chassidus says, you know what? The Russian says, listen, you know, Rosh Hashanah, you had this big musagim, like big ideas, and you're actually going to change yourself and make the other person. You have Kippur, wow, you know, Sukkot, Hashanah Rabbah, you know, and then get back to real life, you know. You held on to a mashahu, something you held on to, a little chelik, a little portion. the by the time you get to Chanukah, you know, there's something left, a mashu left. Good, it's good enough. Good enough. That's what they're saying. The point of Chanukah is the Rosh is not asking phenomenal change. He's asking that something should stick. You should, a little bit, and don't listen to this argument that a little bit is worthless, because it's not worthless. And that was the fight between Klal Yisrael and Yavin. It's not your standard Chanukah shmuz. I think it's a very big nakuda there to understand about this nakuda of that Klal Yisrael was pushed. You know, we're going to do a mashahu. So the nais, the Rosh Hashanah set the back, says, rehearses point is, it means you're on the road. Doesn't mean you're there. You're talking out there. You don't need to be there. You just need to be on the road. A nais is a signpost. You're on the 95 going north, not going south. Long schlep to get there. It's Thanksgiving Day, and it's going to take you. It's going to take you at least 10 hours. But you're on the right road at least. That's all you need. That's the nace. That's what mankind's job is: to get on the road and move forward a mashu. I told you over the mashal from the Shir Das about this argument about a small change. You know, we said, like, you know, okay, what did I accomplish? I made a mashu of a change. You know, my wife once asked me her version of it. They said over that Rav Shach, one year his Kabbalah was he's going to bench from a bencher. That was his Kabbalah for the Yom Kippur. So his wife says, so let me get this clear. Let me get this straight. So we're going to come to Shemayim, and they're going to take out the big scale, right? And they put all my bears on one side. And they're going to put, I'm going to bench from a bench on the other side, I'm going to win. Like, how does this work exactly? Huh. Like, just explain this to me. So I asked her, Shiva Rabchaim, once this question. And he said, you're not coming to the Rosh Hashanah and saying, listen, you know, there's like, let's say, well, there's 57 areas I need to work on, and I'm working on a mashu of one of them is good enough. But I'm saying to the Rosh Hashanah, listen, I want to work on all 57. I want to start somewhere. And I cannot start big, because that's not going to last. I'm willing to make something real, which will last, and that is my commitment to be on the road. And Russia, if you give me enough years, I'll get there. But I'm taking one thing at a time. But right now, I'm dealing with one mashahu. There's a Ben Yarno has a sefer or a little kuntra that we're going to call it a sefer. He has a little piece called Soid HaTshuva, the foundation of tshuva. And Sarah Tshuva, he talks about what he calls compartmentalizing your day into four sections. The Tshuva, he says, you know, the Yetzirah comes to you and says, you, Tshuva, you know how many bears you have? You know how much a mess you are? It's not the game. And the person's not going to want to have any shaitas to you. So the Tshuva is, you know, forget about yesterday. Yesterday you blew it, not stop. Mamish with the Pazer, you blew it. Right, with the shalshelis, you mamish, you know, Gavaldik, you mamish blew it yesterday. What do today? Today you can get it right. You know what? You wake up and says, your goal is to get it right from the time you get up until you eat breakfast. That's your goal. That's all you're asking to accomplish. If that works, at the time you get to breakfast, you say, Rosh Hashanah, thank you for helping me until now. And you say, Shabbat Kutotu and Hezbrochu for the help. And you say, Rosh Hashanah, okay, I'm going to try now from now till lunch. He says, why is it the four sections? Says that's all. The Bereshit says, I'm not asking you to focus on fix yesterday. Forget about yesterday. Forget about it. He says, if you use this approach, even if a person is nifter b'chatzi yomov, the Bereshit gives him a scar as if he lived a full lifetime and he did tarmitz his whole life. This is better than rights. I once had a mentor chaver, older yogi man that was very close with, you know, that his brother was nifter young. I remember when I wrote him a letter. He was sitting ship. I wrote him a letter. I quoted this piece of Rebbeinu Gardner. You know, his brother was a person who was clearly on the path. So the Russian was going to give him a scar as if he had the full life and he's able to accomplish everything that he would have wanted to accomplish. That's the goal. Tells the Rebbe, Shir Das says, Gewaldig Mashal. You heard this from him before, but it's glad to hear it again. So imagine a field, soccer field. And the soccer field is covered with sesame seeds. One layer high. Full of sesame seeds. How many sesame seeds are there? Millions and millions, right? Millions of sesame seeds. Now you add another layer of sesame seeds on top. Do you see the difference? Come on, not. It's one sesame seed, not two sesame seeds. What have you added? Billions of sesame seeds. He says, we don't see ourselves the way we really look. We are collected to all the celestial realities. All the beings, all of the worlds are tied to mankind, to Klal Yisrael. So this neshama of Klal Yisrael is spread out over all of the universe. The physical universe, the spiritual universe. And now this person moves himself up a mashu who higher. So I don't see any difference. What I accomplished is I'm a mashu better. No, you're not. You changed the whole Bria. The whole Bria went up mashu. That little mashu that you did is spread out over the whole entire universe is a mashu better. So you didn't add a mashu, you added millions of mashuhs. He says, in the Moshul, it doesn't really convey the Nimshul, he says, because in the Moshul, the second layer doesn't change the first layer. But a person who grows a Mashahu is not trying the same person with a Mashahu more. I'm a whole totally different person. So that growth is not just a Mashahu. That growth is a total shinui in the etzem of the Adam. And a Mashahu accomplishment. And so the Yetzer HaRa says, and he's scared of that. So he says, yeah, listen, but buddy, it's an all or nothing proposition. And that was Yavin's taina. So what's fascinating about Hanukkah is we celebrate a mixed victory. Because it wasn't a full victory. The war continued on. Right? The lessons of Yavin and it was absorbed into Edom, and Edom has these thought processes, and it's still there. We live in a society where there's very much an all or nothing. All or nothing is a very significant thought process. You know, the world of sports is where you see it very, very clearly. Right? That's you know, it's the agony of defeat. You know, you just missed it by a mashahu. Right? But that's all you need. You blew it. You know, you're no good. Right? 4 years from now, try again. You know, right. But going back, the true Havana is I ran that mile, I pushed myself, and I made myself a little better. Because in my trials, I ran a 3 minute 53 second. Now it was 3 minute 53, 2.7 seconds. So mashu better. But that meant that I was able to push myself, but mashu, I meant I'm a different person. I'm a person who's able to go a little bit further. I'm a different person. It's not... You know, when that person went from the 4 minute mile to the 3 minute 59 second mile, everyone said that wasn't just a mashahu; that was a total change. The point that we're saying over here is that every mashahu is really that. Every time you push, you're able to accomplish a real change, even if it's a very small change, but it's real. You push the barrier. You broke the 4 minute mile. So, regardless of measuring yourself against anybody else, it's like, what did I accomplish? You know, so I moved, and I'm a guy. You know, and now I'm able to sit and learn the Hasmona Rabbah. I can stay focused for 30 minutes. There's a guy next to me; he does 4 hours straight. Right? They give you chalishas adas, those people. You know, right? And me, like, you know, 5 minutes is an accomplishment. You know, like, you know, like, you know, I can stay focused for 5 minutes. Okay, but now I can take. I stay focused. I stay focused for 5 minutes, 2 days in a row. 3 days in a row. As it was 5 minutes, and I blew it, and I picked myself up, and I did it again. That's also an accomplishment. Rav Huttner has this. Somebody told me a maisa, and I got upset. Now, I got upset because that maisa shouldn't have been said. Because it doesn't convey a message which is realistic for the listeners to have to hear. I'm not going to tell you the mice because I, you know, it's very good. Sorry. what was mice? Yeah.
Kind of built it up for us there.
You know, there are Yeshidim who are extraordinary people. But what does it do with me? But those people aren't a lesson for me. So Rebbeinu writes in a letter that the Gedolim stories which we have, which portray these people without their challenges, are not doing, they're not doing something beneficial to Klal Yisrael. You know, picturing the Chofetz Chaim, you know, the Vilna Gaon was born, by the time he was 5, he was, you know, he was ready learning Shas, by the time he was 7, he finished half a Shas, by the time he was 9, he finished another half a Shas. So what do it for me? What does it teach me? The Chofetz Chaim was born, he was such a tzaddik, you know, he was like 3 months old, he was already helping his mother. Like, what do these stories do for you? You know, 5 years old, he went in the middle of the night and he broke the ice of the water carrier's bucket and brushed it down. So I'm up gefreckt, because at 5 years old, I wasn't doing that. Like, you know, I'm done. You know, like, what does the story do for me? The Chofetz Chaim, we don't hear the stories about the Chofetz Chaim almost said Lashon Hara. He said Lashon Hara. He felt bad. He saw the impact. We don't hear those stories because it's Lashon Hara's had those stories. Right? Rashi Rav Isaac Osman, Zichron Lebracha, one time said, he says, we read this, the Chumash, and the Chumash is it's a terrible Lashon Hara Sefer. It tells you bad stories about Moshe, bad stories about Miriam, bad stories about David, Yaakov, and Yosef, and everybody doing something wrong. Because we need to hear those lessons. She said, you'd ask Miriam, she'd say, Gzunta hate, Adarabi, you have to hear, you need to learn the lesson. Good, so I don't have a right to come along and say that, you know, I'm the one who has the right to decide. I should tell you that there was a book which came out X amount of years ago, which this nominally was his argument, that all the Gedolim stories don't really tell you the stories. So I'm going to tell you all the bad stories also. So it was suggested it should be taken off the shelves because it wasn't appropriate. You have a right to say that. I get your kavanah, you have a right to say that. Then also you sort of get there is an element of an axe to grind in the book. About
$800 if you want to get a copy.
What?
That's like $800 if you want to get a copy.
Right. Okay. Rebaron has one.
I'm sure he does. The old one or the revised one? Yeah.
Well, no, I was actually by somebody's house recently. I saw it on the shelf. Somebody else's house, and I saw it on the shelf. I'll let you read it in his house if you want. There's an element of it because, like, a certain gadol he felt didn't get the just due that he deserves, and compared to, you know, his trajectory compared to other ones, maybe it was better. So I point out all the negative over there. You realize, you know, I don't know. There was something over there. Was Masha didn't sit right, but his argument was, you need to know that they grappled. You need to know they fell. You need to know that they weren't perfect. I've told you this piece over there. He continues. He says, this is a letter. He says, this is the Gaulic Apostolic and Mishle. Shall we put Sadak Bekom? Shall we put Sadak Bekom? You think about it, it's a really strange possible. The Sadak falls 7 times and he gets up. It's okay, so good. Let's translate the mice, right? You know a guy from the neighborhood. You're downtown somewhere. You're walking down the road. You're on the street, and you see this fellow distance. You see him walking to McDonald's. Through, you see him sit down and eat a cheeseburger. Okay, he stops in the shul. You see him every day. You know, like I don't know. This time wasn't him. Maybe it was him. I don't know. But he has an ulcer. Just cut the fascia. He has to eat something right away. I don't know. Down on the cuffs. It's fine. Okay. Next week, you see it happen again. Like, I don't know. I see him in shul. You know, but you never know. Like, you know, maybe the ulcer. I don't know. You know,
flare back.
By the 7th time, what's your decision about him?
Like cheeseburger.
Right. That he's not a tzaddik.
He's really having the impossible burger now.
Right. He's, you know, right. We're not calling him a tzaddik anymore. So what should we tzaddik we call him? So what's the tzidkis over there? It says the tzidkis is what call him. Because what do most people do after they fell 7 times? They give up. What do you do after you fell 100 times? You give up. I said, listen, I can't do it. That's not me. I'm done. And the tzidkis is to get up again. I said, you know what? It didn't work 100 times, it'll work 101. It didn't work 1,000 times, it'll work 1,001. I got to keep trying. I got to find something. I need to keep working. And you know what? I might fall again, but that's okay. This time I get it right. This time, this snare will last for one night. What will be tomorrow? I have no idea. Can I sustain this? I have no idea. But I'm willing to try. And if you were able to make that mashu of a difference, it's significant. It's valuable. And the person says, you know what, you got the message. I'm going to give you a sign that you got the message. You got the message right. And that is the or. The fascinating thing about or, that matmin or tachah habamin choshech, isn't it an awesome thing? That's exactly this point. There's a lot of choshech in my life, but there's one mashal word that's good enough. Because matmin or tachah habamin choshech. So we live in a world of choshech. The message of, the point of Chanukah is that a ma'at is or. And we're being told, no, don't even try the ma'at because it's not or, because it's an all or nothing proposition. Either you need the sun, right, or nothing. It's still dark out. It's dark out. But it's true. This little bit of light makes a whole difference in the room. It's a fascinating thing. So that's exactly what the point over here is, that the argument that a mashu of an or in your neshama, a mashu of change in your neshama, a mashu of growth in your neshama, a mashu of mitzvah in your neshama, a mashu of kedusha in your neshama, is it totally changes the reality. The just to finish the last point that Reb Hutner has a different piece. He says that there's something which is concurrent with Chanukah, with the Chashmonoyim, is Mechloikas and Klai Yisrael. And Chazal say the first Mechloikas and Klai Yisrael was by the Zugos. There was the Abbez, and we have in Mishnayos, we have we have Shimon HaTzadik, then you have the Antigone Shiyasaychai, and then you start the Mishnayos over there, you have a pair. You're Shomer Prach, you're Shomer Shotach, and then you have the called the Zugos. Eventually, you have Shmaya Naftali, and then you have Shammai and Hillel, etc. So the Mishnah says in Chagigah that till the Zugos, there was no Machlokes and Klai Yisrael. Now, what do you mean there's no Machlokes and Klai Yisrael? Means that they would discuss, debate things and discuss things. Something they couldn't come to resolution. They would go up to Sanhedrin Agadol. Sanhedrin Agadol would sit and discuss it until they had a clarity. And they would cut the arm of the minion and they'd make a psak. The more so they got to a point during the kufa of the Zugos, they weren't sure if you're allowed to do the lachas before a person brings a korban, the dava, an oil or a shlomim, he does smicha on the animal. He puts his hands on top of the animal and he presses down and puts his weight on the animal and he says a vidur and then you mark of the korban. That's called smicha. The question is that since the lachas is that you can't ride an animal on Yom Tov, are you allowed to do smicha on a behema? I'm not really riding on it, but I'm putting my weight on it. Right. So is that like riding the animal that's also for the Tzarek of Korban that you're bringing on Yom Tov or not? So this is Machlokes by the Zugos. They cannot come to resolution. The Sanhedrin could not get to the point where they were able to be Armel Minyan and make up Sag. This is the first Machlokes in the Klai Yisrael. So you have to picture this. You know, imagine a world where everybody does the exact same Taramitzvahs. There's no Ashkenazim, there's no Sephardim, there's no Hasidisha, there's no Litusha, there's no Yekisha, there's no Litusha. Everybody does exactly the same. Everybody has the same sock, there's no arguments, everything is clear what to do. It's an awesome life. It's an awesome life. Imagine you're a Talmud Chacham living at the time, you bridge the span of the time from Shimon HaTzadik and Tikkun Yisrael to now, and there's a Machloikas in Klal Yisrael. You imagine the pain? It says that this Machloikas continued through all of the Zugos, which was a long period, it was a period of well over 100 plus years. And Hillel and Shammai had three more arguments. So now there's four Machloikas in Klal Yisrael. They have machlokes about the Shir Chala, they have machlokes about a hill of Tumah by Anisha by the hill of Nida. They have other machlokes and they could not come to resolution. And then Beis HaMikdash was like, Marcellus and Nasik could base Taurus. Mamash gave like two different Taurus. There's Beis HaMikdash's Taurus and Beis HaMikdash's Taurus. It's Mamash Koshech. It's like Mamash, it's like we went from this, like, every which way, Kleisel, and that's how we live today. We live today in a world that there's so much not clarity in Torah. So, what do we have, and that's the world that we live in till Mashiach comes. Mashiach comes, there'll be Sanhedrin again, and every question will be decided by the Sanhedrin. There's no questions. Rabbi Lyman one time told me that Rabbi Yashiv, when he was younger, he would always accept some of the calls. If you were some of the calls, he would come. So there was a young man in America the Torah who had a baby boy, and he invited Rabbi Yasha to be the Sandik. So Rabbi Yasha came to America the Torah for the bris. So it for the Bokram, he was a Bokram then. He says the Bokram is like, wow, you know, the Rabbi Yasha is coming. So the Bokram, like, as he walked in, like the people were asking him questions, and he was answering. He says it was the most awesome thing in the world. It's a world with clarity. Yes, no, yes, also mutter, also mutter, chaya, potter, like everything was clear. He had an answer for everything. He says, imagine living in a world you know exactly what to do. You never miss supik. It'd be an awesome life. It'd be an awesome life, right? You know, we always know what the right thing to do is. You never be able to get supik. All of Christ had that at one point in time. And they lost it. That was what Yavin did to Klai Yisrael. It created a choshek on Klai Yisrael that we couldn't come to resolution. So if you think about the Beis Hamikdash looking like a mess and the leadership looking like a mess, the Torah was affected by it. That's how pessimistic you could have been. The Mishnah said, no. It's good enough. The Mashu was good enough. Rav Hutner says a fascinating thing. He says that what happens, there's a new concept called Elohim 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 Chaim. That the effort for trying to figure out the emes based on what you are able to do also counts as Torah. So there's a rebate of Torah which never could have been otherwise. Like this is the quintessential Ayin Tova. What's the worst Choshek is the greatest Or. This is now Torah. The effort for trying to understand is called Torah. Even if you don't get the right answer, it's okay. So my revolutionary Chanukah Shmuz is, you know, Chanukah is about learning Torah, and you have to learn Torah like 17 hours a day, and otherwise you're an ice dwarf, you know, like that was the type of shmuz we got in the good old days, right?
Curious at the rest.
Yeah, that's for myself. You know, forget about that. You know, like, you know, here I am, I'm not learning anymore like that anymore, if I ever was. But it's Chanukah is the time we step back and say, you know what? What can I do to make that my effort is real, and maybe I can make a change which is real, which it's a mashahu, but that mashahu is a matmedor, which is the garment of Hashem.